Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Our text is 1 John 5:6. And this text gives us some of the evidences of the authenticity of the Christian faith. And when I say the Christian faith, of course, I'm talking about the body of truth, which constitutes the faith of genuine believers in Jesus Christ. And the center of that faith, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. And other doctrines that are part of the faith are part of the faith because they relate to him. And so in our vocabulary, we make a distinction between faith without the definite article the, which means the exercise of our reliance upon Christ and upon the Word of God and upon the promises of God which are found in the Word. That's what we call faith. We believe that these things are true and we rely upon them. We rest our soul upon them. But when we're talking about the faith, with the definite article in front of it, then we're talking about the body of truth that constitutes the Christian religion. And I know not everybody even wants to use the word religion, but it is a legitimate word. It is a good word, though it is also a bad word. It can be used in either a proper or an improper sense, or maybe I should say in a healthy and an unhealthy sense. And I hope you understand that I'm endeavoring to use it in the healthy sense. I'm not sure what else to call it. I could call it the Christian faith, but then I'm simply using language that reflects what I'm trying to define. And you can't define the Christian faith by using the term the Christian faith. So I'm talking about the Christian religion as being basically the same thing as the Christian faith. Well, I've kind of gone around in a circle, and it's time to get into the text. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, January 3. Many thanks to those who understand our need of your financial support in order to remain on this station. Here's the text. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, as I've endeavored to show you on previous broadcasts, what John is laying before us here is basically a threefold witness to the authenticity of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And the threefold witness constitutes, number one, water, number two, blood, and number three, Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit. The water refers to the baptism of Christ, and that is a strong testimony to the truthfulness of the claims of Christ. Many people witnessed the baptism of Christ. The baptism of Christ came at the beginning of his ministry, and it constituted the empowering of the Holy Spirit for his ministry, and it also involved the testimony of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, as you know. When standing in the water, the voice came from heaven, and the Spirit of God also came from heaven and descended upon him like a dove. And there were many people who saw that. Now, we often take these claims for granted. I started to call them truths for granted because, of course, I believe they are. I believe they're exactly true, but we often take these claims for granted, these facts for granted, this account which we find in the Bible, we take it for granted. But you must understand what a stunning experience that must have been for the people who were standing there watching this. And we do know that John had huge crowds that attended his ministry, and Jesus was baptized by John. As John was baptizing one day by the River Jordan, the crowds gathered, hearing him preach, watching those who were submitting themselves to baptism. Jesus came and requested that he be baptized. And so this large multitude, we don't know how many, of course, the Bible doesn't tell us, but this large multitude are all there watching as Jesus is baptized by his cousin John, and they heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." They saw the dove descend from heaven, the Holy Spirit, and come and light upon him. They witnessed these things. They recognized that there was something miraculous taking place, something supernatural taking place, something divine taking place. They recognized that this was a powerful testimony to the identity and mission of this one who was being baptized. And Jesus submitted himself to water baptism because he identified himself with sinners. He told John to baptize him because he must do this to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3:15. Now, John was baptizing people as a matter of repentance. It was a symbol, a sign of their public repentance of their sins. And for that reason, John objected to Christ wanting to be baptized because John recognized that Jesus had no sin. In fact, John suggested that instead Jesus baptize John. John recognized himself as a sinner. He recognized that he needed to identify with repentance of his sins. He did not consider Jesus to need that at all, and he tried to prevent him from being baptized, or at least he objected to the request that John baptize Jesus, but Jesus said, "No, I want you to baptize me. This is done to fulfill all righteousness." Now, what did he mean by that? Because here is a sinless one who up until this time in his life had lived a life of perfect obedience in every way to the laws of God. He had not sinned. He had a perfect righteousness, a sinless life. He had no sins to repent of. He could not name one single act of sin. He could not say, "Well, I've lived a pretty good life, but I have to acknowledge that I fudged on the truth a little bit in this instance. I did something I should not have done on this particular instance. I took something that didn't belong to me at that particular instance." If we're honest, we know that we have many sins. And if we were called upon to confess our sins, the list would be pretty long. In fact, we wouldn't be able to remember them all. There are so many. But Jesus didn't have a single one. So why is he being baptized? And why does he say that he's doing this to fulfill all righteousness? Well, I take that phrase, to fulfill all righteousness, in two different ways, two different senses. In the first place, it was an act of obedience to the command to be baptized. Here's the one who is going to send his disciples out and tell them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, or more literally, make disciples of all nations. And when a disciple has been made, when someone has believed in Christ, when they profess that they are now a believer in Jesus Christ, what are they to do? Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. And so every believer in Jesus Christ, every follower of Jesus Christ, is to be a baptized believer in Jesus Christ. Well, I take it that to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus is identifying himself with those who believe on him, those who follow him. He's identifying himself with his people in this submission to baptism. Even though he has no sins to repent of, nevertheless, he's showing the way. He's demonstrating what they ought to do. He's not going to call upon them to be baptized without himself first submitting to baptism. He's setting an example in that regard. And I think in that sense, he's fulfilling all righteousness. But I think there's an even more profound and important sense. Because what was Jesus here to do? He was here to die in the sinner's place. He was here to take upon himself the judgment that is due unto sinners. And to do that, he was to identify himself with our sins. It's a mysterious thing. It's a strange thing, in a sense, to say that on the one hand, Jesus was sinless, but on the other hand, he was treated as though he were a vile sinner. He was treated as if he were guilty of all the sins of all the people who ever trusted or will trust in him. How many sins is that? It's more than we can imagine. Every single sinner has more sins than he can remember. And then you multiply that by the millions of people who down through the years have trusted in Christ. And you place all of those sins upon Christ. And he's going to bear the judgment for them. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon him instead of the believer. But it's going to be poured out upon him because of his status as a sinner, not his condition as a sinner, because he is not a sinner, but his status as a sinner. He is taking the sinner's place. He has become a vicarious sinner. We talk about the vicarious righteousness of Christ, and that's an important concept. We don't very often talk about the vicarious sinfulness of Christ, but that's also an important concept. Vicarious means substitute. He took the sinner's place. When we talk about the vicarious righteousness of Christ, what we're saying is that Christ imparts, he reckons, his righteousness to believing sinners. So his life of perfect righteousness, his obedience, becomes the believing sinner's obedience in this vicarious way. Christ took our place. Christ was acting on our behalf when he fulfilled the requirements of God in perfect obedience and earned a perfect righteousness, which is now imputed to the believing sinner as if that were his. Vicarious righteousness. I don't have any righteousness of my own, but I have a perfect righteousness, the vicarious righteousness of Christ. But it's also because I have a vicarious sinner as my Savior. He took my sins. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own, said the songwriter. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. That's what we're talking about. And in that sense, he was identifying himself as a sinner when he was baptized. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.